Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp. This week, the Big Ten plans to vote on a potential return to football this fall. How and when will the presidents and chancellors vote, and when could Purdue and others restart the season? And how did we get here? All the topics ahead on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters with Tom Deanhart. We'll get with Brian Newbert here in just a couple of minutes as well. All right, Tom, it seems like this weekend, from what I've heard, could be as early as today, this Monday, that Big Ten leaders could vote on a return to football as early as next month. I guess, what do you know after the meeting on Sunday from medical experts and others that sort of outlined a plan to return to competition? What do we know at this point?
Yeah, Saturday, Kyle, the medical committee, Big Ten experts presented, you know, a plan to a subcommittee of Big Ten decision makers, and they liked what they heard. So then on Sunday, they moved forward and presented the medical information to the full force of 14 Big Ten chancellors and presidents. A vote wasn't taken on Sunday, but like you said, Kyle, a vote is imminent. Some people think within 72 hours, I'm sure. We'll get some word on if, again, the conference rubber stamps reversal on its previous 11-3 vote, and we get Big Ten football. You know, they're going to need 9 votes, Kyle, among those presidents, 9 of the 14 to say yes. So we'll see. And lastly, like you said, Kyle, most reports seem to indicate October 17th as being the kickoff for a Big Ten fall 2020 season.
Well, we know there will be at least 3 yeses, right? I mean, that seems pretty clear with Iowa, Nebraska, and Ohio State voting yes. So will they get the other 6 that are needed to restart?
I guess I'm optimistic, like a lot of people, because of the advancements with this rapid testing. Everybody thinks, from what you read, Kyle, this is a real game changer as far as controlling the virus. If you have this quick testing that you can turn around in 15 minutes, Kyle, it would eliminate the need for contact tracing and quarantining, which knocks out large rafts of players. So, again, players could be tested daily. It's a cheap test. Like I said, it's a quick turnaround, 15 minutes. Very easy to administer as well. So I think VEC could be the real decision maker that changes the vote. And I think they're going to have to also quell those fears about myocarditis as well. So I'm sure the committee addressed that. And, again, I personally think that things look rather positive, but we shall see very soon.
How will Purdue vote, Tom?
Good question. I would think yes. I would think they would want football. I mean, academically, Mitch Daniels, the president, has been on the forefront as far as opening universities going back to last spring. Been very proactive as far as trying to live through this virus and trying to, again, maintain a sense of business and order. Don't shut everything down. So I don't know why, having trumpeted and championed opening universities, why he would be against trying to play fall sports, especially if the advancements and again, medical procedures and protocols are as improved as people think.
I just wonder if here's my reasoning for maybe why he voted no to begin with, is that there's such pressure and want to get the university opened that if football started and then stopped, that maybe there would be perception that the university needed to stop functioning as it was with in-person classes as well. So maybe that's the fear, I guess, that the two things are somewhat related in that fashion. That football is so public that if it gets shut down, then thus there'll be some push to shut down actual school as well?
I don't know. It's food for thought. Interesting theory. I mean, we've seen on other campuses the reverse, I guess, where the school has basically been shut down on the remote learning. Kids sent home, and the football teams have kept marching forward. So who knows? I mean, I can't get in Mitch Daniels' mind to know his decision-making process on why he would have voted no initially. But again, we all know everybody wants to be safe about this, and that's the big concern, your health and safety of the student-athletes. And from everything you read, Kyle, the presentations went very well. Some people kind of hope they would have just voted on Sunday while everybody maybe still had a lot of momentum and a lot of energy by what they just heard. But again, they delayed the vote. People go home, shut off their computers. You wake up the next day, you start talking to other people. Who knows, you know, in that short period of time, Kyle, minds can be changed.
Well, it's a good thing Saturday went well because, Tom, we both heard that Thursday did not go well. That there was some pretty heated discussions among Big Ten coaches and conference leadership about the direction that everyone was headed, and that was in the usual Thursday meeting. So I guess at least some change from Thursday that then resulted in, you know, Ryan Day's public statement on Twitter from Thursday to Saturday, some pretty significant change and at least momentum in the right direction.
Yeah, every Thursday, Kyle, the Big Ten head coaches meet on Zoom with the commissioner, and yeah, it got pretty contested from what you hear. I've heard a lot of those Thursday meetings have been rather heated as far as the changes go. So as you can imagine, these guys want to play football. They're frustrated. Some agendas are different than others. So again, last Thursday was epic with that Ryan Day statement. But again, maybe fences will be mended here, Kyle, but for what it's worth, you probably saw on social media this morning, on Monday morning, the star Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade declared for the NFL draft. You know, not good. This is after one of the big offensive linemen declared, too. But again, I still think signs point toward them playing the season this year, Kyle. Of course, Ohio State has been maybe the squeakiest wheel of all. They think they have a team good enough to play for a national championship in the college football playoff. And they start October 17th, Kyle. And if they could play 8 games over 9 weeks, that'd give them probably enough time to build up a resume for consideration to those 4 teams in the playoff.
Let's talk about that schedule here in just a moment. But first, so if there are 9 10, 11 teams, programs that vote yes, but a few that still vote no, is there a possibility that the Big Ten could be played this year without all 14 of its teams? Could Rutgers, who's president or chancellor or whatever, has been pretty adamantly opposed to fall sports, could it decide that it just is not going to participate?
Now, last night, Brett McMurphy of the Stadium, longtime college football reporter, he tweeted out that he had sources tell him, Kyle, that if the Big Ten plays, all 14 teams will buckle up their helmets and play. So, if you believe Brett McMurphy, there will be no teams sitting out if the Big Ten moves forward. All 14 will play, which is key for the conference. So, again, that's step number one. Step number two, again, like I said, is trying to start on the 17th of October, maybe October 24th. And, again, Kyle, like I said, 8 games over 9 weeks. I listened to Dan Wetzel this morning of Yahoo Sports. He heard they're also considering a 6-game model. So it will be fascinating to see what type of scheduling model that they do devise if they decide to move forward with the fall season.
Yeah, that would put a Big Ten championship game, and I don't have the calendar right in front of me, what, like December 19th or something like that, somewhere in that range?
Exactly.
And then the possibility of getting into the postseason with the college football playoff, and then I presume bowl games as well. What do you think about that schedule, 8 games in 9 weeks, if they in fact can start on October 17th?
I think it can work. I like it. I really do. There's no guarantee you're going to get all those games in. You hope by October 17th, like I said, the testing is at the point now where it's, they can eliminate big outbreaks. But I think it's very doable. The SEC is going to start on September 26th. They're trying to play 10 games. We've already seen 2 weeks of action, Kyle, with plenty of postponements so far. So, again, it's going to be a hodgepodge. And what's going to get crazy, I guess, for the College Football Playoff Committee is they have to start comparing resumes of teams who don't play the same number of games. So just one of many bizarre things about a very bizarre 2020.
Yeah. Well, I saw your tweet this morning, talked to a couple of coaches, got their thoughts. It seemed like they didn't really know, but we're optimistic. We know you'll be on it.
Yeah.
And we'll look for more at goldenblack.com. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Brian Newbert here in just a moment, get his thoughts on this. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's HomeFieldApparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs, including now gold and black. .com designs. Check it out today. The podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you are guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Koppelman a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in over 40 states. www.jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian talking about the Big Ten's potential restart here in about a month, something that will be voted on soon, perhaps as soon as today, this Monday, or within the next 72 or so hours. Brian, we talked a little bit about Tom, about, you know, maybe that process for, you know, getting this underway. How is it that we got to this point, I guess, you know, considering it was only about 5 or 6 weeks ago that the Big Ten, as I've said before, sort of stepped out on the ledge, expecting everyone else to step out with it, and they didn't follow when they decided to shut down fall sports.
Yeah, if this was going to happen, and it looks like it very well might, which is great, you know, a lot of stuff. The reason this has looked so unlikely is think of all the stuff that had to fall into place for this to happen a month after the Big Ten postponed. The biggest part of it was the rapid response testing. Obviously, some things unfolded in that sense since the postponement. Didn't know if that was going to be available to them. Mike Babinski even last week said he didn't expect to necessarily have access to that until October. The big question, too, was what changes in a month? All of the things that the Big Ten presidents are on record as saying led them to believe it wasn't safe enough to play in September. What changes in October? I didn't think it was ever going to be a situation where all of a sudden our situation with COVID looked one way in September and then looked another way in October. So there's a lot of stuff here. You had to get the TV partners on the same page too, after they have already, you know, kind of moved on with things. You have to get football teams ready to play in a month, which is, you know, not exactly the easiest, most user-friendly kind of thing, but it sounds to me like they are at least ironing out a plan for this. What it does is if they end up playing in October, it really shines a light on just how botched this was in the first place, why they rushed into the vote in the first place just remains such a mystery here. All they had to do was take a couple days, take a week, just kind of sit down and talk about it some more. At the very least, if you still end up postponing it until the winter or whatever it was, at least you have sat down and you have made all of your stakeholders part of the decision. At least you have maybe tried to build a little bit of a consensus here. But this has always seemed doable. I have not really criticized the Big Ten on its decision to postpone because I don't know the medical data that they based it on. And it's really hard to say they made the wrong choice when at the very crux of their decision was the well-being, the health of the people who are actually playing the game instead of the people who are running the game or watching the game. So, but the one area where the Big Ten was blatantly, egregiously wrong was just in the handling of the whole process. And I think we've been pretty outspoken about that. And it probably doesn't need to be rehashed at this point because it was a complete clown show.
Yeah, I don't know whether to rehash it now or not, but yes, it was. I mean, it's just, you know, the lack of transparency, the rush to judgment, the idea that it had such a bloated idea of self that it just felt like it could do this and everybody else would follow its lead. I mean, just go down the list. It seems like the Big Ten could have, why could it not have just continued to practice and monitor the situation? That also doesn't make sense.
Well, the situation you had there was that if you're sitting here and saying, you know, we don't think it's safe to be exerting yourself in football, it's really hard to say, but you guys can continue to have full contact practices. What they did was they scaled practice back to non-contact, and you could have done that indefinitely.
Yeah.
Like, obviously coaches wouldn't have liked it, but if all 14 of them are doing the same thing, what is it? That's what I said in my column last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. It's all run together. All you had to do was just put an indefinite moratorium on full contact practices for a week, okay, and just sit down and talk about it. Just don't be in a rush. I don't know why they had to vote on this on August 11th. Nobody does. But it feels like they just rushed into this. They sort of, I hate to use the word, you know, fear or panic or whatever it may be, but it felt like they just panicked and they just rushed into a vote, and they did it when emotions were high. They didn't clear their eyes out. They didn't clear their minds. They didn't go back and talk to all their athletic directors and coaches. They didn't talk to their medical people I on their campuses. They didn't take the time to just go through everything as thoroughly as they possibly could have. And all you had to do was just take a couple days. I know that the coaches and the players and the fans wanted answers. And that's understandable. But the most important part of that is having a good answer, you know?
Yeah.
So this whole thing, it would be awesome. It would be great. A lot of people would be really happy. A lot of people's jobs presumably would be saved. You know, if they end up playing in October, it didn't have to be this way, you know?
Yeah. The Big Ten has, to its credit, been the leader in a lot of things. I mean, the Big Ten network and the explosion of television money across the country. With what has happened, even if the Big Ten restarts in October, gets through eight games, is part of the postseason and all of that, and I feel like that's the way it's going to go. I would have told you months ago that I thought they'd get started across the country and then everything would get shut down 3 or 4 weeks into it. I've sort of changed my perspective on that. I think we're going to make it through the fall just with cancellations like we've seen in postponements and juggling of schedules and players being out at times, whether they have tested positive for COVID or contact tracing or what have you. Anyway, is the Big Ten forever tarnished because of what has happened here over these 2 months?
I don't think it's going to be easily shook. You know, I think that, you know, while this was no one person's fault, you know, there was an 11-3 vote that was originally a 12-2 vote that somehow turned into an 11-3 vote. This was not Kevin Warren's unilateral doing, but this was not a good start to his reign over the Big Ten, clearly, because the communication was bungled at best. The process was extremely flawed, and you know, I don't know how those private conversations went in terms of the president's being, you know, being compelled to think a certain way. I don't know, but it would seem like the rush to the vote and the result of the vote, you know, certainly doesn't bode well for the office that was running the process. You know, it is an interesting situation now, optically, if that's a word, for the Big Ten, because as I said, when they first postponed, university presidents had better have an answer for the question of why it's okay to have 40,000 students on your campus going to school, but not okay for guys to be playing football. I think there is a rational, clear-minded answer to that in terms of the physical exertion part of it. But now the question becomes that they're going to have an answer to is what's changed. Why did you go on record on August 11th and say it's not safe enough to play, but August 17th, it's totally cool? What the Big Ten needs to do this time around is they need to have their stuff together. They need to have a packet of information to distribute publicly and say, here are our protocols. Mm-hmm. Here's what's different now. Here is how we're addressing myocarditis. Here is what happens when we have X number of players positive. Here is our red button moment. Here is everything. If they've learned anything from the front end of this process, it needs to be transparency. Because now, again, as I said before, you are on record by an 11-3 margin that we don't think it's safe enough to play. You need to justify the fact now that you feel it is safe enough to play. Everybody wants football. Presidents want football. Players want football. Media, contrary to popular belief, want football. But now they've backed themselves into a corner. They've painted themselves into a corner here. They need to make a compelling case as to why it's different now, because, again, they are on record. And for those who are cynical enough to believe this is all about liability in the first place, again, you are on record as saying on August 11th, we don't think it's safe enough to play. So now your liability concern is probably tenfold.
Yeah, let me tell you, I was super pumped about the cancellation of Sportsman when my radio show got canceled. That was
Oh, it's awesome. It is the best.
Yeah, I was
man.
Cheering.
These have been the best last 3 weeks of my life.
I was cheering. Yeah, no sports. My show got canceled. Boom.
Yes, I get to run an internet message board now with all that people have to talk about being a presidential election. Yay me.
Yeah, on the surface, right, the Big Ten looks sort of ridiculous, right? I mean, even if there is, you know, better rapid response testing and better contact tracing and all that, I mean, just like you said, just, you know, just sort of on the surface to go 1 month to the next, it just looks sort of ridiculous. What do you do you think this will it pass? Will they get 9 votes? Will they get six no's to yeses or more?
Well, if they had waited a week before and you had gotten news about rapid response testing, then the vote might have turned out different. The biggest piece of this puzzle is testing.
Yeah.
The best way to worry about myocarditis, the best way to worry about the spread of the virus is to know exactly who has the damn virus. And the best way to do that is to be able to test guys every day, to be able to test guys before games, after games, whatever it may be. And if they have it, get them the hell out of circulation. Maybe, who knows what the protocols will be, maybe take them out of circulation for the whole season. We have no idea how they're going to address that. But that's the biggest piece of this. Now, the technology, you know, came along at the perfect moment, potentially, for the Big Ten to be able to do this in October. I don't know how reasonable it looked right away that they would be able to get a hold of this in the volume needed to be able to play in October. Obviously, if this passes, that means there will be no concern there. If they're accepting the federal government's apparent offer for the rapid response testing, then the government deserves credit for helping this along. I don't know. I know the Pac-12 got that device that had just come along. I know the Saliva Direct stuff is coming to market here pretty soon. But that is the biggest piece of this puzzle, was the rapid response testing. So if you can answer that question, and if you could put in front of the presidents a detailed plan for, look, here's what we do if this happens. Here's what we do if we see any inflammation around a player's heart. If you can put their minds at ease here, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't vote this through. It's just they are going to have to be transparent this time around. They are going to have an answer to that question of what's different.
You're right. I mean,
all the stuff we're talking about right now, somebody is going to have to say out loud.
Like, have a presentation with medical experts and your commissioner and put everything out there, do the PowerPoint, the whole thing, rather than the first time around when the Big Ten Network just put Kevin Warren on. They didn't have the audio working. He didn't have any answers. I mean, it was just, it was ridiculous. I mean, this time around, you've got to come out there with experts and have, like the actual reason why things have changed in the last month. You have to. I mean, that's just as common sense, right?
Say something meaningful. Exactly. 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 I cannot say the word exactly enough in succession right now.
Yeah. All right, man, we're out of time. Hopefully we'll have actual sports to talk about, football here very soon, we can hope.
Let's talk next week about how Cam Craig's going to hold up at offensive tackle, okay?
Yeah, let's do that. All right, thanks, Brian.
All right. Yep, see you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that next. This is Golden Black Radio. The Chargers team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, whatever, give me a call. Text 765-412-5217 or email Kyle at chartersteam.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
It'll be a big week. We'll get some news from the Big Ten. Hopefully it will be positive, and hopefully we'll have a plan for returning to football sooner rather than later. Be sure to log on to goldandblack.com for the latest. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, East End Grill, JFQ Lending, as well as Chargers Team and RE/MAX Ability Plus, Home Field Apparel, Follett's, 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. All right, we'll be back again next Monday with our next podcast, and maybe we will talk a little bit about football. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.